Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
It's good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
Yeah, we've had three kind of powerful, deep shows.
Yeah.
And if you didn't listen, go to giftofgraceministries.org, and they'll all be there.
Trying to steer you back to the roots of the faith.
Yes. And we live in a perilous time, you know. Paul also tells Timothy that the perilous times will come.
We do.
And boy, there'll always be people that'll say, there's always been perilous times, which is true.
Right.
It's always been perilous times. There's always been heresies. There's always been departures from the faith. But I think now, I think you pointed out, because of mass communication, the internet, everything that's social media, things get spread around instantaneously.
Yeah.
Whereas before, when Paul warned about false teachers, you know, you had to go encounter one of these guys somewhere.
Yeah.
Whereas now he just comes right into your living room.
You just Google him, yeah.
Yeah. Or, you turn your computer on and there he is.
There he is. Yeah. I mean, if somebody would have told me like 10 years ago or 15 years ago that we would be at this point where we're at in our culture and our world, I would have thought, seriously?
Yeah.
Because things have taken such a fast turn for the worse.
Really accelerated.
Really accelerated. And in some regards, you know, to the faint of heart, it can be overwhelming.
Yes.
And as a Christian, you can't be faint of heart.
That's right.
You have to be formed.
Yes.
You have to be, you know, molded.
Yes.
And strengthened. And the only thing that's going to do that is the Word of God.
Yes. And you have to stay consistent with it.
You got to stay consistent. You know, if you want to have any good results with anything, there has to be a certain amount of dedication, determination, and consistency with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything else, it's back to the fundamentals. Anything else is a shortcut and usually it does not last.
Yes. You know? Because now the thinking is, well, we've come a long way in 2,000 years, and we've evolved, and now we're a lot smarter than we were then.
Oh, yeah.
And God still can't possibly believe what he believed 2,000 years ago.
Look at the French Revolution.
3,000 years ago.
Well, yeah, look at the French Revolution.
Yeah. But now, you know, if he hasn't gotten with it, you know, we'll just go on from here on our own.
Yeah. Basically, that's where our culture is. We'll take it from here.
Yeah, we'll take it from here.
We don't need that anymore. We don't need your help anymore. We got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we've moved him kind of, you know, I used to say to the horizon, but now we've kind of moved him even off the horizon.
Yeah. And, you know, as you say that, I'm thinking about how many times, and I know we read from Nehemiah last week as well, how many times did the Israelites wander away from God?
Hmm.
And then they were exiled?
Yeah.
They were in captivity? And they came back.
Yes.
How many times did that happen?
And then when they heard the word, they wept.
Yeah. And it happened because they always strayed away from God's truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no different than in our day of what, you know, doesn't matter if you're a believer or a non-believer, the world in itself, for the most part, is straying away from the truth of God and they want to do their own thing.
Yes. Exactly.
And even the foundations of the church that has been built upon the rock of Jesus Christ is teetering.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the church is not going to, you know, the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church.
Right.
Okay. Jesus guarantees that.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that it's not going to be battered and that the storm isn't going to do some damage to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see the damage being done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people's faith has been shaken because there's scandals, there's sexual scandals, there's misconduct, there's all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
And those are not good things.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that doesn't happen is, or the one thing that shouldn't happen is that God's word is not in any way less meaningful because a human being mm-hmm. sins and falls.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
God's truth is eternal.
That's right.
And the foundation and the rock that your faith is built upon is the word of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. the word of God.
Yeah. A simple example is, well, I don't believe in the law of gravity.
You don't?
You know, and
I thought you were a well-educated
person. Maybe thousands of years ago, there had to be gravity, but yeah. I don't think we need gravity anymore. So I don't think gravity. And, you know, as you walk around in your daily life, you don't realize that gravity's holding you onto the earth.
Yeah.
And you say, oh, I don't believe in gravity. But, you know, inevitably, you're going to drop something. You're going to fall off of something.
Yeah.
Then you're going to realize the law was true.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope to do, I think we should do a whole show on that passage of Nehemiah. But what's yeah. really cool is the people got into all kind of rebellion and idolatry. They were exiled to Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Then they were back in the land.
Yeah.
And as Ezra read these words, the people realized they were convicted mm-hmm. by this word.
Yeah.
That they had done wrong.
Yeah.
And now they were hearing the word again and they were weeping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now we have these word of faith, health and wealth preachers that, you know, what happens to the person who doesn't get rich? Or what happens to the person who gets a bad diagnosis?
Yeah.
Or what happens to the person who has some kind of accident and ends up being paralyzed?
Right.
Did that happen because I just don't have enough faith? You know, does this mean now in my mind that Christianity must not be true anymore because this preacher I really trusted told me, you know, all I had to do was believe this and I would be wealthy. And here I am, actually not wealthy at all, like barely making it from paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, because inevitably the things are going to catch up with you. Whether it's idolatry, whether it's, you know, any sin you can name, or a wrong belief, eventually will catch up with you. And
yeah.
you bring up a good point because in the Old Testament, and yes, the Old Testament is the Word of God. It was breathed out by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you going to places that say we only believe in one covenant, then you need to go to a different church. Because the entire scripture is God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul doesn't say, well, we've had the Old Testament. That's what I know. And that's all we have right now. But in a few years when we have all the rest of the stuff done, you can just forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
No, he doesn't say that. He says all of the scripture is breathed out by the Holy Spirit. All of the scripture. So we have all of the books from Genesis to Revelation. Not just from Matthew to Revelation.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm in 2 Timothy right now since you brought that up. He says all scripture is inspired by mm-hmm. God and is useful for teaching, for mm-hmm. for refutation, for correction, and for training in righteousness,
yes.
so that one who belongs to God may be competent,
yes.
equipped
yes.
for every good work.
Yes. He says all scripture.
Yeah.
And so when you hear somebody say one covenant, you have to perk your ears up and say, wait a minute, there's two covenants. This is the whole plan of salvation unfolding through the scripture. The plan of salvation does not unfold just through the new covenant. So that being said, and since Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun, everything that's around has been around before and probably – I don't know, probably every possible violation of God's law has been done by other people. And there's always been false teachers. There were false teachers in the Torah. There were false teachers at the time of the prophets. There were false teachers in Jesus's time. Mm-hmm. Paul and Peter and John all warned the early disciples that when they left, false teachers were going to come.
Yeah.
And they did. And there's, mm-hmm. and there's still false teachers coming in.
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing is really new.
Right.
And since I think we've covered the 2 Timothy 4
yeah.
and we probably should get to something else. I was struck the other night looking through some of these scriptures with Isaiah chapter 30. Now, I love the book of Isaiah. He's my favorite major prophet. We don't have time to talk about all of Isaiah, but suffice it to say that Isaiah is a very complex but profound, deep book, which talks about sin and judgment, talks about Messiah coming, talks about how Gentiles are going to be included in the kingdom, and it's very comprehensive. In fact, the book of Isaiah has sometimes been called the gospel according to Isaiah, because everything is in the book of Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of find the whole salvation message. You find a description about Messiah before he's born, after he's born, even when he's crucified in 52 and 53. Isaiah gives us a description of what's going on at this point. And then in the last few chapters, we did part of it when we did the Hineni series, but in the last few chapters, it's Gentiles are going to come too. People who don't know me are going to find me. People mm-hmm. who aren't seeking me are going to find me. People who don't know me are going to know me.
Right.
I'm going to say, here I am, here I am. I'm going to be an ensign for the people, and the Gentiles are going to seek me.
Right.
So the Messiah is going to be sought by Gentiles. I mean, it's radical thinking in Isaiah's time. But all this, of course, comes true. But in chapter 30, as well as many places, we were talking about how people make their own plans. And we're going to read the whole chapter, but the point I want to emphasize starts in chapter 8. But the setting of this is that Israel's fighting Assyrians. I guess Assyrians are kind of like Syrians, but they're fighting Assyrians. I have a couple of Assyrians in my street, but no, I don't. So the Israelites are fighting the Assyrians, and instead of the people turning to God, who's delivered them out of Egypt, has given them all the stuff, has given them the land, has given them prophets, has given them, you know, all the provisions, they decide they're going to handle this attack on their own. And they go to Egypt to try to make a treaty with the Pharaoh to help them out of this mess.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, they go back to not only they go back to a Gentile pagan land instead of turning to God, and the land that held them in slavery for 400 and some years.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even think to ask God what they should do.
Yeah.
And so here's what happens. This is like we were talking about. We like our plan. We make our plan and we want our plan to succeed. And we have you hear businesses making a 5-year plan and a 10-year plan. And, you know, you make a 5-year plan and you don't even know if you're going to be alive anytime between now and the 5 years from now, but you got a 5-year plan because, and I mean, we have to think that way as humans, but we put faith in our plan, not his plan.
Right.
And so without reading all of this, because it's pretty actually, Steve, why don't you read verse 1 for starters?
Out of Isaiah 30 or 8?
Isaiah 30.
Ah, rebellious children, oracle of the Lord, who carry out a plan that is not mine, who make an alliance I did not inspire, thus adding sin upon sin. They go down to Egypt without asking my counsel to seek strength in Pharaoh's protection, and take refuge in Egypt's shadow. Pharaoh's protection shall become your shame, refuge in Egypt's shadow your disgrace. When the princes are at Zoan, and his messengers reach Hanes, all shall be ashamed of a people that gained them nothing, neither help nor benefit, but only shame and reproach.
So he says,
wow.
Yeah, so he says, you're adding sin upon sin. You're rebellious children who devise plans that aren't my plans. You mm-hmm. devise plans that are not of my spirit, my translation says.
Right.
So that you add sin to sin. And you go to Egypt to strengthen yourself. And he says you trust in the shadow of Egypt. Egypt is nothing to you.
Yeah.
But now you're going to trust in Egypt instead of me, and that's going to be your humiliation.
Yeah, it was a land of slavery for them.
Yes, this is going to be your humiliation. So let's go down to verse 8, because this is cool. Let's read like maybe 8 through 12.
Now come, write it on a tablet they can keep, inscribe it on a scroll, that in time to come it may be an eternal witness, for this is a rebellious people, deceitful children, children who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, to the prophets, do not prophesy truth for us, speak smooth things to us, see visions that deceive. Turn aside from the way, get out of the path. Let us hear no more of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you reject this word and put your trust in oppression and deceit and depend on them, this iniquity of yours shall be like a descending rift bulging out in a high wall whose crash comes suddenly in an instant. Oof.
Yeah, so stop there for a minute.
Wow.
So he tells Isaiah to write this down. Don't just preach it. Don't just tell the people. Write it down, because this is going to be preserved as a witness against this. It's going to be written. So everybody knows, and everybody will know even generations later, even hundreds of years later, even in the year 2019, mm-hmm. that this happened, that you didn't trust in me.
Yeah.
It's preserved, and it's for all people. You always have to keep this in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You're making your own plans. You're not turning to me to say, like, what are your plans?
Yeah.
What does your spirit tell us to do?
Yeah.
No, you make your plans. And here they were. They were the only covenant people. And he says they've been rebellious and they've been lying. They won't hear the instruction of the law. They won't hear what I've told them all this time. Mm. They just rebel and they do what they want.
Yeah. You know, somebody who is so flattered by their own wisdom, if you want, or their own self, they can become a good liar. That they even deceive themselves, because they no longer understand what truth is, nor can they even see what truth is, nor can they tell when there is truth.
Mm.
And that's the one thing, when you lie a little bit, it gradually grows,
mm-hmm.
because you think, that doesn't matter. And then you convince yourself that lying is not bad. Once you do that, Satan's got you.
Mm-hmm.
and he'll convince you to lie about anything at that point.
Got away with it. You got away with it.
And thus you're not seeking God's counsel. You're not walking in a fear of the Lord, of being in a right relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
You've totally rejected him, and you make your own plans. You have your own thoughts and your own desires, and you go right ahead along with your own plans and desires, and thus you don't even seek the Lord.
Yes.
But what we've read from Isaiah here is that they went back to a land of slavery,
mm-hmm.
and did not even ask the Lord.
That's right.
For his help.
Yes.
After he delivered them.
Yes. And they put their trust in, he calls it, the shadow of Egypt.
You know,
it's not even a real power.
Yeah. It's like being back at the base of Mount Sinai.
Yeah. Yes. And well, this is why he says, you have to write this down, because everybody has to know this.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to know that you're supposed to depend on me. You guys are the only covenant people. We have this relationship. I'm your king. You're my people. And now all of a sudden, you don't want to talk to the king.
Yeah.
You want to make your own plan, just like everybody else. You know, like in 1 Samuel, we want to be just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Give us a king.
Yeah.
Well, you're not supposed to be like everybody else. But, of course, you know, now all the churches are yelling, we want to be just like everybody else. We want everybody to like us.
That's true.
We don't want to say things that are unpopular. We don't want to say things that make people feel bad.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, a lot of people, churches have accounts on Facebook, Instagram, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, how many likes do I get? How many likes do we have?
That's right.
Are we popular? Are we attracting a bigger crowd?
Yeah.
Sometimes attracting a bigger crowd is not necessarily what God wants or a good thing for the spiritual growth of your community.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and this is why God says, you know, you're a harlot to me.
That's right. That's right. You're supposed to be married to me, but you're running around with all these other people.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, the bridal paradigm goes through the whole scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why the only country that's ever called a harlot is Israel.
Yeah.
I mean, this is very profound.
Well, because God chose them as own possession.
Yes.
And they just rebelled.
He says, you're supposed to be married to me, but you're committing adultery all over the place.
Yeah.
If you think these other gods can help you, you know, go ask them for help. You know, to go.
Yeah. And we see over and over, it didn't work out.
What the sun god's going to do for you.
Yeah. Nothing.
And then you see, I love this thing in this passage in verse 10. People are going to say to the prophets, to the seers, do not see. To the prophets, do not prophesy to us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
We want to hear smooth things. You know, we don't want visions that are about bad. We want visions that are about nice things. And we want smooth, comfortable things. I love Jesus. He loves me.
Yeah.
He wants me to be rich. He wants me to be wealthy. He wants my life to go smoothly. I know now that I don't have to worry anymore about anything because mm-hmm. He's got this under control.
Yeah.
And I know that this and that and the other thing, but these are, tell us smooth things.
Yes.
So put the TV on. Watch Christian TV.
See visions that deceive.
Visions that deceive.
Yeah.
You're going to see on TV all these guys telling you comfortable things, mm-hmm. smooth things. You're not going to hear, take up your cross and follow me. Rarely do you hear that.
Now, you said you've been watching Christian TV for like the last...
A lot.
A lot. How many times have you heard that message?
Never.
Never?
Which message about the...
Take up your cross and follow
never.
Me?
Never.
Not once?
Not once. No. That's old-fashioned.
Yeah.
In I mean, and out.
That says a lot. That says a lot right there.
Oh, yeah. Because we're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always say our brothers and sisters in the Middle East are being killed. They're being crucified. They're being persecuted against.
Yeah.
But we're here going, well, I don't know. It's raining. I don't think I should go to church today.
Yeah.
I got this runny nose and I don't know.
You know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, you know, we read the Old Testament passages from Isaiah and we see how the nation of Israel rebelled against God.
Mm-hmm.
But as you're talking about, and as we're both talking about this over the last couple of weeks, just because Christianity, I want to say this, the believers who have come into the covenant through Messiah are Gentile believers.
Mm-hmm.
If we think that the same fate won't happen to us that happened to Israel,
exactly,
we are badly mistaken.
Yes.
Because it will. Because it's a spirit. We're dealing with spiritual realities.
Mm-hmm.
And the same spiritual things that happened to Israel are the same things that will happen to the church today if we rebel mm-hmm. and turn away from God.
Mm-hmm.
God's not impartial to destroying his own temple twice.
Twice.
God's not impartial from exiling
his people,
which we are his people now through adoption. He was not impartial to exiling his people to reprimand them and bring them back to him or try to bring them back to him.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, we're like these people in verse 10. You know, don't prophesy bad things. We want to hear good things that flatter us and make us comfortable.
Yeah.
We want the prophets to agree with how we think. Because after all, this is what makes us comfortable.
Yeah.
This is what makes everything smooth. Plus, we don't want to be stopped in what we want to do.
Right. We got our own plans.
Because we've created this in our own image, basically, and we've made our own plans.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the music?
That is the music.
We're going to have to go back to Isaiah 30 next.
It's not part of our plan, but it's the music.
Ooh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that that we would follow the voice of the Lord and follow His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who Jesus says will guide us and lead us in all truth, and remind us of all that he taught, that we may be back to the foundations and the truth of Jesus Christ. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.